Right. I'm going to call tonight's Laws and Rules Government Services Committee meeting to order. Today is November 16th at 6:01 p.m. Jay, can you take the roll, please?
Absolutely. Chairwoman Bartels?
Here.
Deputy Chair Roberts?
Here.
Legislator Gavaris?
Present.
Legislator Heppner?
Here.
And Legislator Ronk?
Present.
You have five members present, zero absent.
Thank you. So we'll go ahead and I'll ask for, hopefully everyone's had a chance to look at the meeting minutes and the transcript, and I'll entertain a motion to approve of them.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Is there any comment on the minutes and the transcript? Anyone have any comments, changes? All right. Thank you again, Jay, for your hard work. All those in favor of approval of the minutes?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes unanimously. Okay, I see Commissioner Dittus is here. We'll give it a few more minutes. I know Commissioner Dittus is driving, and we'll get into resolutions if that's okay for a moment, just in case your counterparts, to give your counterparts a moment to get on the line. Okay, so moving into resolutions. Resolution number 300, setting a public hearing on proposed local law number 12 of 2020, a local law amending local law number 4 of 2018, a local law establishing an Ulster County human rights law to be held on Tuesday, December 8th, 2020 at 6 p.m.
Make a motion.
Thank you. In a second. Okay, Legislator Heppner, is that your hand raised?
Yep. At this point, I'd move to postpone. I played phone tag with Legislative Counsel Iguchi this afternoon. Unless Legislator Ronk has any updates on possible conversations that Council Pascal's had, I currently don't have any more updates based on the conversations our council would have with the County Attorney's Office.
Legislator Ronk, go ahead.
Thanks. First off, I'll second that motion to postpone. Mm-hmm. I believe that Council Pascal has submitted his comments, I guess, the minority's comments on the human rights law amendments that were put into the County Attorney's Office. The way I remember it, and I could be wrong, so Nick can correct me if I am, but I thought that we were sort of waiting on, and there he just joined, Council Rigucci, to weigh in with the majority's comments.
Council Rigucci, are you able to hear us?
I know you're on the phone. Yes, I can hear you. Okay, sorry, I'm on my phone today. Can you hear me?
Yes, no problem. Okay. So we were discussing the proposed changes to local law number 12, the human rights law. Last we left it, Legislator Ron had sent minority counsel's comments, and Nick is on the phone line as well. And we were waiting. Legislator Heppner said that he played some phone tag with you today. Legislator Ronk was waiting to get feedback with majority comments. There's a motion to postpone on the table. Is there anything you want to add at the moment?
So I am in receipt of Nick's email from of several weeks ago now at this point, and he and I believe have discussed it on a call as well. And I actually concur with his comments. So I don't really have any additional substantive changes that I think are appropriate at this time.
Okay. So if I can just add, since there's a motion to postpone, why don't we circulate those comments through Jay to the entire committee one more time and to the county attorney's office and Deputy Executive Ryder, just so we're all on the same page. And let's make a commitment to work this with the postponement. If the postponement passed, let's make a commitment to work this through so that we can move toward passage of whatever changes we're accepting next month. Does that sound fair?
Sounds fine to me.
Deputy Executive Ryder?
Can I just ask that you CC Clint Johnson on those, because the attorney that was working on those changes is out on leave. So Just make sure Clint gets them and he can reassign.
Okay. Sure. And I'll make sure that he gets them as well. And I'll follow up with a call.
Yeah. And I think that they, I think that both minority and legislative council have talked to the county attorney about this in council's meeting as well.
We have, Dan, that's correct.
And just for my clarification, the attorney that was working on this was Jennifer Clark. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. And she's right now. Okay. Great. So we'll do that. Jay, you have all that. So on the postponement, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. Passes unanimously. Okay. Moving to resolution number 345, setting a public hearing on proposed local law number 13 of 2020, a local law amending the Ulster County Charter, local law number 2 of 2006, and amending the administrative code for the County of Ulster, local law number 10 of 2008, to further clarify budget modifications after adoption, to be held on Tuesday, December 8th, 2020 at 6:10 p.m. This was postponed in Ways and Means. Take a motion for discussion. I'll move
it. Second. Okay.
That's legislators Ronk and Gavaris. Legislator Ronk.
Thanks. I believe, you know, and Chairwoman, you and I spoke earlier in the day. I believe that Legislator Archer was hoping to have this come up after the after we finish with the budget cycle. So with that in mind, I make a motion that we postpone it.
Yes, I can confirm that's accurate.
I'll second.
Okay, Legislator, so Legislator Roberts' hand first. Legislator Roberts, were you raising your hand to second?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so Legislator Roberts second. Does anyone want to speak on the postponement? Okay, all those in favor of postponement?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, that passes unanimously. Okay. Resolution number 383, setting a public hearing on proposed local law number 14 of 2020, a local law amending local law number 17 of 2007, a local law to create the Department of Environment and the Office of Coordinator of the Department of the Environment for the County of Ulster, to be held on Tuesday, December 8th, 2020 at 6:15 p.m.
I'll move it. I'll second it.
Okay, that's legislators Ronk and Heppner. Discussion? Okay, all those in favor of resolution number 383?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes unanimously. Okay, resolution number 425, setting a public hearing on proposed local law number 15 of 2020, local law amending article XXX of Ulster County Charter and article XXX of Ulster County Administrative Code to eliminate the term limit imposed on commissioners, to be held on Tuesday, December 8th, 2020 at 6 p.m. Motion for discussion, legislator and second for discussion, legislator Heppner. Okay, legislator Ronk.
Thank you. Chairman Donaldson was a sponsor of this, and I had a conversation earlier in the day. He told me that he would be consenting to a postponement tonight. I feel strongly that this should be discussed in the same vein as the earlier local law that we postponed, with the amendments to the Human Rights Commission. Jonathan and I co-chaired a human rights task force. And my recollection among all of the task force members was that even though we didn't want there to be a hard and fast term limit like there used to be, there was consensus that everybody wanted there to be sort of a cooling off period to try and move new blood in and out of the commission. I think it's a discussion that we can have on whether or not two terms is too short before a cooling off period, but I would be against eliminating any term limit on the board to begin with, because it was important to the task force. John, I don't know if you have anything to add there.
I'm comfortable for further discussion. If Chairman Donaldson is good with the postponement, so am I.
I can add that I spoke with Chairman Donaldson today as well. He did consent to a postponement. I expressed Legislator Ronk's concerns just because he and I had gone through the resolutions for tonight as well. But I do have to say on the record that Chairman Donaldson feels extremely strongly that we're committed to moving this next month. He feels very strongly about this. He did show some openness to a discussion while he was originally just opposing term limits, he did show some openness to a discussion about maintaining term limits, but not, he definitely feels that two terms is too short. So
agreed.
Again, in the interim of this to next month, I think we need to, I'm committed to making sure we get this off our agenda before the end of the year, along with the other human rights resolutions. So we have this one month postponement, but we have to commit to getting it done. So do I hear a motion to postpone?
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Okay. Legislators Runken, Heppner. All those in favor of the postponement?
Aye.
Aye. We're moving along. Opposed? None. Unanimous. Okay. Resolution number 427, authorizing and appropriating a one-time compensatory time payment to certain employees of the Ulster County Board of Elections. The motion for discussion?
I'll move it for discussion.
Okay. Legislator Runk.
Second.
Okay. Legislator Heppner. On the resolution, Legislator Runk.
Thanks. I've had deep concerns about this ever since it, was brought up in discussion. I want to say, and I could be wrong about the number, but there's in the about 160, 165 management confidential non-union employees in the county employ. I have deep concern about providing special compensation to only eight of them. Everybody else in, who is able to earn comp time has to use it within the appointed time, cannot accrue more than a certain number of hours. I understand that there are special circumstances involved here. I feel strongly that the proper way to handle a situation like this, if we were going to do something, would be to extend the time when you can use the comp time, as well as, eliminating, temporarily the cap on the number of hours. I don't know how you provide a special, compensation to what turns out to be, less than 10 employees, all of whom are political appointments of people appointed by the legislature. I think it is concerning from a policy perspective, and I think it looks bad from a public relations perspective.
Legislator Gavaris?
I share a lot of the same concerns Legislator Ronk had stated, but also, we're already been saying for months now, we're in a financial crisis in the county. To expend additional funds that we didn't budget for, that's just more money. I'd rather see us extend the allowable time that they can use it into next year and come up with a reasonable time frame that they would have, but to spend additional money that we didn't already plan for, we just can't afford to do it.
Legislator Heppner.
I know Legislator Bartels and Legislator Roberts, you work together with the BOE and so, but I was under the impression that this money is already currently budgeted. I just want to confirm that.
It is. It's coming out of grant money within the department. That's already in this year's budget.
Thank you.
I have Legislator Roberts first and then Legislator Ronk, and then I'll.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We put a lot of time and effort into coming up with a solution. We could extend the comp. The Board of Elections stepped up to the plate during the last month or so when we needed them most. It was a very important election. A lot of absentee ballots had to be filed, applications. I think it's only right that we compensate them and instead of extending the comp time.
Legislator Runk, I have a comment, but if you want to.
No, you go first.
You sure?
Yeah.
Okay. I want to thank Legislator Roberts. We put a lot of time into trying to work out a way to deal with this situation, which the comp time in the department had been drawn down from nearly all employees to almost nothing back in February. So I think it's evidence that it was due to the extraordinary nature of this election cycle. tremendous amount of response in terms of absentee applications, the early voting, the incredible public response in terms of calls to the office, and a sort of a drain on resources and day to day. And, you know, I think that independent of party lines, the Board of Elections did an amazing job and is continuing to do an amazing job as they're even counting. I mean, we're going to talk to them shortly. They're in the process of a count currently. It was an extraordinarily difficult election in terms of the workload with a tremendous amount of hours. And the way that I realize we're talking about a very small number in terms of management, so-called management, which is, that's a whole nother debate because personnel policy, et cetera, but employees within the management classification. That said, this department is unique already. I mean, it's one of two allowed to accrue to 105. And I'm concerned that if we don't actually do this to get everyone to zero, we'll continue to see these kinds of pressures in drawing down the hours as we move forward. I think moving forward, we there are things we need to address, and I'm absolutely committed to doing that. But I think that this is the right thing, and the money is there in the budget, in the grant that they received. I have Legislator Ronk and then Legislator Heppner.
Thanks. You know, in the budget is a relative term, because I'm sure that that grant money could be used for, you know, equipment items or other items that could benefit the Board of Elections and help, you know, ease some of the, you know, problems we've had, perhaps an automated telephone service that, you know, not every one of our Board of Elections employees would need to be answering a live telephone if it's just a question that could be answered by an automated system. I mean, there's a lot of things that the quote budgeted money could be used. Just because we receive money in a grant doesn't mean, you know, it's what, $23,000. We have it in grant money, so we might as well use it for these plum payouts. I have deep concern about using this money this way. And I just want to make sure I put it on record that, you know, I don't believe that because we have the grant money, it means it's in the budget. These comp time payouts were not budgeted items.
I just wanted to confirm too that I read it right. So it's neither the commissioner nor the deputy commissioners on both sides will be seeing any type of payment. It's strictly the staff below them, correct?
That's correct.
Thank you.
Legislator Gavaris.
Can you confirm what Legislator Ronk had stated, that the grant could be used for other purposes as well? Or is it, we don't use it for the salaries, we lose it?
Well, we have the commissioners on the line, but I could say I would assume he is correct. I mean, I would assume, because it was an unexpected, I think it's for unexpected expenses. So I would assume this is an unexpected expense, but I would assume it could be for other expenses. But Deputy Executive Milgram, are you able to confirm that?
Sorry, what was the, what fund were we talking about using?
From the grant.
I think it was from CARES.
CARES, yep.
Oh, that's Ashley. I would refer to Ashley about the use of that grant funding for the item.
I don't believe it's in Hobbit CARES because we've drawn that one down already. Those were all due today. We submitted them on Friday. We have other two, three other funding streams to pull from. And only one of them allows for staff payment. And we actually have so much money right now that we're looking for things to spend it on. So that's not so much a factor for us. I don't know if that helps, but that's the situation.
Yeah, as of now, I know that Bert feels that we do have the money to cover this. It was approximately, Tracy, tell me if you heard differently, but I think it was about $23,000 that we were...
Yeah, it's in that ballpark. I mean, it's proposed to close with the close of this payment cycle, which I believe closes on the 21st, with coming Saturday. So it could still be accruing. I don't know if any comp time is accruing currently. So the numbers could change slightly between now and then. I do feel very strongly that it's a matter of fairness. Legislator Rung?
Thanks. To you and to Deputy Chairman Roberts, what was the, what was the mindset behind limiting it to everybody below deputy commissioners, since deputy commissioners accrue comp time as well? I believe that either at least one, if not both of them, have more than maxed out on their comp time as well. I'm just curious what metric was used to decide that they were not deserving of such fairness.
Legislator Roberts, do you want to respond?
I'll take it. If I blow the answer, maybe you could take over for me. But we did talk about that, at least compensating the deputies. But the deputies and the commissioners are probably considered management, and that would open up a can of worms that, would bring us to who knows where.
Yeah, that was very much, I think it was perfectly said. I mean, Legislator Ronk, when I spoke to you earlier, you talked about setting a precedent. And very much when we talk about management as a conceptual issue, like management, decision makers, policy makers, I think a strong argument could be made that both the commissioners and their deputies are management, small m, positions. And therefore, and there are many, small m managers across the county that then we'd be opening up the proverbial can of worms that Legislator Roberts referred to. Legislator Ronk?
I mean, due respect, I don't think that, our personnel policy and our own, bargaining units and management units as they're set up don't distinguish between a decision maker or a policy maker or anything like that. I think you're introducing, things that our management situation in Ulster County doesn't, foresee, and perhaps we should decide, we do have department heads, which would be the commissioners, which don't earn comp time. I just think if we're going to use a word like fairness to compensate 8 individuals out of 160 something in the same unit, then it should be everybody in the office and not just, some of the ones who earn comp time. I just the deputies may have even worked more comp hours than some of the registrar clerks and machine techs that are getting this payout. I don't think fairness is the right way to put it. And I am concerned about setting a precedent, but if we're going to do this, I think that we have to do it. I think that rushing it through with 1 month, when there's obviously some disagreement over whether we should do it or not, it's not the right way to go. I again, do we know that the employees would rather have a payout than be able to accrue more comp time and have it to use next year? Has this been broached with them, or is this just kind of a, top down, decision?
Legislator Roberts, and then Deputy Executive Milgram.
Yes, I did talk to one of the deputy commissioners today, and he felt, in his opinion, that the employees would rather take the payout. I don't know if he did a poll or not, but that was his opinion.
Deputy Executive Milgram, you had your hand up.
Sure. Just respectfully, in terms of deputies versus department heads, in most of the departments, we do consider deputies management position. In regards to, they do have decision-making power over who gets comp time. They can pick one person versus another. When the commissioner is not in, the deputy becomes the commissioner. And that's essentially where the delineation in our minds is. So.
Legislator Ronk?
You're muted.
Legislator Ronk.
Thank you. Sorry. Due respect to Deputy Executive Milgram, I mean, delineation in their minds isn't necessarily a legally binding thing that, I mean, you know, is there something on paper somewhere that distinguishes inside the management confidential non-union, unit between a deputy commissioner of the Board of Elections or a registrar clerk at the Board of Elections or a machine tech at the Board of Elections in terms of compensation, in terms of what they can and can't accrue?
On paper, I'm not familiar with.
Thank you.
Okay, Legislator Heppner?
Yes, I mean, I definitely hear some of the concerns from Legislator Ronk, even as well as Legislator Gavaris, especially in these, you know, difficult budgetary, you know, times we're in. I think this is very, you know, different in a sense, though, because we're not talking about the discussions we've had in other meetings regarding a pay raise here or the creation of a new pay raise there. We're talking about essentially making right and paying county workers who, because of unprecedented times, have had to work very differently and essentially have been asked and have worked, been working for free. And, you know, at the end of the day, we're employers, and as an employer, you know, and the way we, you know, take care of our workers, I think this is an extraordinary circumstances. That's why it is one time. But I think it's absolutely morally the right thing to do is to compensate these people for the work they have done. And so that's why I've come to the point where I'm comfortable with voting for this.
Legislator Ronk.
Thanks. And I'll close on this. I don't think any of us are changing any minds here, but I'll just say this, that, you know, I would be interested to find out. And again, this is one of those areas where a postponement for a month might not be the worst thing in the world to gather more information on something, you know, as important as, and, you know, possibly as precedent setting as this. But I'd be interested to find out how many employees in a given year turn back in comp time in a 12-year period. And then, so if we're talking about employees working for free and not getting what they're entitled to, or, I think that, you know, I wonder why we don't pay out employees for unused comp time in the whole organization at that point. Again, this looks to me like, a deviation from our personnel policy for 8 political appointees. And that's disappointing.
Legislator Gavaris?
I mean, again, I don't want to delay it either, but Legislator Ronk brings up a good point. Delaying may not be a bad thing, because another question pops in my head. So this is an unprecedented event. What was last year's comp time like? What was the year before? I mean, how off from the norm are we on this? And to, you know, Minority Leader Heppner's point, though, I appreciate all the work they do, but when you work for certain departments and certain jobs, you understand that part of your job is going to be heavier at times of the year and maybe a little lighter in others. The highway departments, they're killing themselves in the wintertime, and it's a little lax more in the fall and springtime, perhaps. It's just part of the job that you do. You anticipate, you know, going into it. This is not something that just happened to them completely out of the blue and they didn't expect it. Maybe, was it more severe than normal? Probably. But I don't know how far off we are from a normal year. Unless, you know, Deputy Milgram knows or somebody else knows it is.
Well, Commissioner and the Deputy Commissioner are on the line. I don't know if you want to weigh in on how difficult this election cycle was in terms of the workload and accruing comp time.
So yeah, to put into some perspective, just looking at absentee ballot processing as one metric, there's many metrics that I could cite, but I'll cite that one first. Our absentee processing for the primary was over 17,000 pieces, all treated the same, always having to be looked up and audited by both sides of the aisle compared to other primaries, that's three times as many. For the general election, same thing. The most we've ever issued was 7,000. We issued over 24,000, all done by hand. There's no automation. It's a clerical job. So that's exponentially larger. Factoring in that this is our second year, second metric would be that we have early voting for the second year, which is why last year I also asked for more staffing, because with additional election days, because every day of early voting is the same as an election day, it's just becoming where we cannot manage this comp time issue. They are at a higher ceiling than other departments at 105. They were all maxed out after the June primary, meaning everybody had to take time. We tried to manage the time in August, which then put us behind for the November election. With us going into 2021, is it going to be lighter? Yes, but a lot of these circumstantial issues are because of changes in legislation, not going to even go away in local years. So the comp time stacks up, and then because of our limited amount of staff, we can't do our processes, registration, absentee. We can't adequately prep for the elections because the staff has to manage their comp time or they lose it. So even just in the last 2 years, with last year being a local with early voting and this year being a presidential, we're seeing how the changes to the election law are creating a huge burden to the staff, where they're going over this comp time ceiling above and beyond it, 50 hours above, 100 hours above. I don't know as manager when I can let them take this time that's not going to impact our ability to function the way that the law is written. So it's becoming arduous. And also with the grant funding, they have deadlines. So if you want to postpone this, I'm going to have to check the deadlines, but we might miss the opportunity to bill it back. So that's something that we're going to have to check ASAP for you all tomorrow morning. But I just want to flag that. Number one, as a commissioner, I don't see this issue going away. Number two, this year was extremely extraordinary for a lot of reasons. And number three, our funding stream might not be available if you postpone it. We're going to have to double check.
Legislator Heppner, Legislator Rung.
I would say the one point, you know, in understanding the position and the work that goes into it, you know, this is, you know, again, a unique circumstance. And again, this is why this is a one-time payment. And again, why it took, you know, Legislator Roberts and Legislator Bartels, you know, sitting down and really working through this, as well as with the executive's office and, you know, both commissioners of the Board of Elections, to really try and solve this problem. Because if we didn't solve it, we essentially were getting free, we were essentially not paying our workers for free work. You know, it's not the same as DPW in an extreme winter, where, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, two deputy executives, but I believe in an extreme winter when, you know, they're on their plow routes, you know, much more, they're entitled through their union contract time and a half. So they are being compensated. They're not making that sacrifice knowing it's going to be an extreme winter. And again, I do believe this was an extraordinary time. And I think during this time, our democratic process was crucial. And there's nothing, you know, more important than that. And their work is important. And again, the choice is, do we say, yes, thank you for stepping up to the plate, but you're not being compensated? Or do we step in this one time with a revenue stream through grant funding and make sure that our workers, who we are responsible as their employer, are being compensated fairly for work?
Legislator Ronk and then Legislator Gavaris.
Thanks. Due respect to Legislator Heppner's comment about the Department of Public Works employees, you know, these jobs are of a higher paying nature than most of the jobs that you're talking about, where you're getting time and a half. And, you know, sometimes when you're deciding what employment to go into, you're taking a cost benefit approach to it. you know, I would be willing to bet you that if we, let's say, took, you know, the Board of Elections registrar clerks and said, I'll tell you what, we'll knock your base salary down to, you know, the same salary as a CEO one, because, you know, construction equipment operator one at the Department of Public Works, but you're going to get time and a half for overtime, I bet you that they wouldn't want to take that deal. So, you know, I don't think that you can compare, you know, jobs in CSEA that pay significantly less than these jobs in management confidential. I mean, you know, it's a trade-off that, you know, you're not entitled to overtime. You know, when you take the job that you're not entitled to overtime, you know, but you take it anyway. You know, with that having been said, you know, as futile as a attempt this may be, I'd make a motion that at this point that we amend the resolution to remove the two resolves and add that resolved that the Ulster County Legislature hereby extends the deadline to use comp time to December 31st of 2021 and eliminates the cap of 105 hours, is it?
Yes.
105 hours until December 31st of 2021.
Can you reread that?
Sure. The Ulster County Legislature hereby extends the deadline to use comp time for the Board of Elections employees who accrue comp time to December 31st of 2021. And also hereby eliminates the cap of 105 hours of comp time until December of 2021.
Is there a second for that motion? Legislator Gavaris, I know you had your hand up, but since Legislator Ron just made a motion, we'll deal with that first. Is there a second for that motion? Okay, hearing none. Legislator Gavaris, you had your hand up.
Yeah, so two things. One, you're telling me that these employees do not accrue comp time at time and a half for overtime?
No, it's 1-to-1.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, that's unusual, but okay. The second part to what Legislator Heppner had said, and you repeated it several times, but it does not correspond with what Deputy or the Commissioner Didis had said, this is not a one-time thing. She's telling us that this is going to continue to happen. So we're going to be right back here again next year until this process gets resolved, until we figure out a plan and a solution to the department, then this is just going to keep happening. So that's why, while I understand what Legislator Ronk was trying to do, and I would probably support it, it doesn't really help because you're going to accrue time next year. We're just going to be this is just going to be a cycle over and over again. We got to find a better way of doing this so this doesn't happen to them or anybody. But I agree, we should be paying our employees. I didn't realize that they weren't accruing comp time at the same rate as it is if they were getting time and a half. So,
okay, I have Legislator Heppner and then Legislator Roberts, and then I'm going to jump in. I have a comment on that as well.
I 100% agree with Legislator Gavaris. This has exposed an issue that we do have to address. I know in the past, in this very same committee and in other forums, we have discussed adding additional support, especially this really came on when we were discussing the impact of early voting when that was passed. So I absolutely, you know, and that might be what we need to look at is, you know, greater support, because obviously long-term one-time payouts isn't the issue. And I totally 100% agree with Legislator Gavaris. My vote today is just simply to make right on the work that they have done this year. But I do agree that we do need to look at, you know, changes, you know, aside from moving the BOE to staffing and how we look at that. There's, I think, a very large and important conversation that needs to be had regarding making sure that we have the most functional and successful BOE we can have.
Legislator Roberts.
Yes, I'd like to echo Legislator Heppner. He had my thoughts very eloquently. But if it comes down to next year and we're in the same boat, it's going to be on us. We have a couple of months to solve this problem, whether hiring staffing full-time, part-time, or other avenues. We're going to discuss those, take a good look at the hours, when they peak, and come up with a plan with input from the Board of Election Commissioners.
Yeah, and Legislator Ronk, if I could just jump in, and then I'm going to give it to you. Yeah, I just want to echo, Legislator Roberts and I have spoken about this pretty extensively, and speaking on behalf of both of us, I know that we're committed through this committee to doing that work with the commissioners to analyze the spikes and to really think through how we can approach this. This process has alerted me to a lot of things, including issues within the personnel manual as well. Mm-hmm. And that's something else we'd like to talk about moving forward. Again, I'm just really, you know, we went into a meeting of concern about this pressure on comp time and Legislator Haynes was there as well, to a pretty giant wake-up call 2 weeks before an election where, you know, at the end of that, and thankfully, you know, future Commissioner Quigley's on the phone and Commissioner Dittus is on the phone. And after the meeting, I spoke to both of them offline, concerned about even getting through the work. And they and their staff stepped up, worked through the weekend, worked extended extraordinary hours to put us in this place where there's a pressure that they even could have gone beyond the 105 hours. Within one time period. So be losing hours as they're working. So I think this is really just a matter of equity, but I absolutely acknowledge we need to move forward, prepared to make whatever changes we need to make, and those changes need to be informed by facts. Legislator Ronk.
Thanks. I wanted to point out, just as a point of information to Legislator Gavaris, that as employees of the state legislature, both John and I, and John, you can confirm this is true in the Senate, but I think it is, that, if we earn comp time, we earn it at a half an hour for every hour worked. So we actually, for every hour of comp time, we lose a half hour. You know, again, comp time differs from place to place. You know, I've got one more comment. I'm going to make one more amendment and then I'll be done. I promise. My one last comment is that, you know, I think of all of the management non-union folks who staffed the EOC during the height of the coronavirus pandemic, you know, who don't earn up to 105 hours of comp time, and, you know, started giving back time almost immediately. You know, when you're operating a 24-hour EOC, I think of people like Steve Peterson and others who, you know, who were there during that, who are not getting a payout because they're not, you know, a political appointee who has, you know, folks, the ear of folks on this committee, I guess. I just, again, you know, I think that what we're doing is wrong, but if we're going to do something for equity, I think that we should make it equitable. So I'd like to make a motion that we include the deputy commissioners who earn the same comp time as the as the other 8 employees. If you'd like that in a word for word motion, you would just remove the words deputy commissioners in the exception in the results.
Legislator Roberts.
I'll second that for discussion.
On the issue of the amendment, Legislator Heppner.
I'm just curious because, as has been mentioned, Legislator Bartels and Legislator Roberts, you know, had very long talks with the commissioners. You know, obviously the commissioners were in agreement with this on both sides, it's my understanding. So, I mean, I would like to know their thoughts on this. And also in terms of what that looks like money-wise, in terms of what is available to the grant that allows for spending on salaries, and what that would mean for that, and, you know, those kind of details.
Okay.
This is Deputy Commissioner Quigley. I can comment on that if you'd like.
Okay, you go ahead, Deputy Commissioner.
So the Facebook grant does allow for us to use any emergency or over
on unbudgeted allocations to be used for this. So any emergency payments for people who maybe you consider this some sort of COVID emergency payment or reimbursement to the employees, all that is covered. And we have well into next year to resolve the timing of that, because we've actually already received that money directly from that grant. That grant just has to have an expenditure report submitted back to them by, I believe, March of next year. That would be the gist of that. My only comment is, because I'm just trying to understand this resolution as a whole, is this paying everybody out for the 105 or anything over the 105?
My understanding is that this is paying out up until the November 21 end of pay period, which is next Saturday. Someone correct me if I'm wrong about November 21. It might be November 22, whatever the end of the pay period is. That
okay.
It's paying out the comp time accrued, even if it's over 105.
Okay. And just to summarize in 2 cents, as I become commissioner on January 1st, I lose my 105 comp time. Just put that in perspective. So I don't even get to carry that in as commissioner.
Legislator Roberts.
Yeah, I did not know that about Deputy Commissioner Quigley, that he'd be losing his comp time. That sheds a new light on it, at least for me. I think we should be taking a good hard look to include the deputies with that said.
I mean, I didn't know that either until right now, but the thinking behind not including the deputies was the precedent that it would set for other deputies across the organization who may have exceeded their comp time in, the word it creates such confusion, but management, small M management roles throughout COVID. So but I didn't know about losing the comp time on January 1. Legislator Heppner.
Yeah, I just had a question, and you know, I fully trust what Commissioner-elect Quigley is saying, but I just wanted to verify, because on the state, at least in the Senate, you know, I know that we lose our comp time on January 1st. So county employees are able to carry their comp time over year to year.
County employees carry over their comp time from their anniversary date. But because Deputy Commissioner Quigley is becoming Commissioner Quigley on January 1st, that's why he's losing his comp time then. I actually think technically he doesn't lose his comp time, that his comp time will be out there, and that if he ever is not a department head again, it would be reinstated. He just can't use it or get paid out for it, because we don't typically pay out comp time in the county anyway. But I seem to remember when I was an assistant county attorney and I got comp time, I had some when I became the director of purchasing, and then that carried over. I couldn't use it as director of purchasing. And then it was still there though.
Mr. Heppner?
Yes, I mean, so if Legislator Ronk wants to include the deputies, I know both deputies have worked very hard through this last year, Fuentes and Quigley. I'm fine with that. If he wants to do that, I'll support that. As long as that, you know, we got clarity on the funding mechanism with that grant, I'm okay with it.
We have a number of, does anybody have a number? Because I don't have the number. I don't know how many hours Deputy Commissioner Quigley or Deputy Commissioner Fuentes have worked as of this moment in terms of comp time. Legislator Ronk, do you have an answer to that?
No, but I have a comment related to that, if I could.
Go ahead.
In the resolution, there's no mention of dollars or hours. So I don't know, you know, I mean, we've used this $23,000 number as a number that's been thrown out there that it's on or about. But again, I struggle to find out how that's relevant to the question, if it's about fairness and the fact that there's no other numbers in the resolution and we're prepared to vote it anyway.
Legislator Roberts.
Yeah, I have a question for Deputy Commissioner Quigley. If we did include your comp and Deputy Commissioner Fuentes' comp, would there be enough money in the grant to cover it?
That'd be a yes. Yes.
Would you have a number on the entire package?
Our whole grant for that specific grant that is would be utilized hasn't been budgeted necessarily for completely. We have $100,000 in there. How it gets allocated, I don't think we've even tried spending more than 20,000 of it because we just spent down our other two grants first.
My question is, how much total money are we talking about with all the employees, including the two deputies? Do you have that number?
I wouldn't know that because I haven't gotten numbers from payroll in order to calculate that for you.
Thank you.
It currently is 23,000-ish. I mean, that was the number up to 105 for the three that have gone over 105. I'm just trying to look at the...
And that's for 8 employees?
That was for 8 employees. Hold on, I'm just doing some math.
Last I saw, there were 5 that were at 105, and it was going to be a little harder pull to get the numbers where they exceeded 105 just in this last period from the, you know, the last zero out. Legislator Ron, can I ask a question of clarification while Deputy Executive Breyer is looking? So you're making this amendment. Does this mean you're going to support it, or are you just making this amendment and then you're going to vote against it?
I'll be honest with you. I'm probably making this amendment and I'm probably still going to vote against it. But I think that it was incumbent, if we're going to talk about fairness, to make it fair. If this is about fairness, then we ought to make it fair.
I appreciate your honesty. Legislator Roberts, and then I'll.
Yes, another quick follow-up to Legislator Ronk. Are you at least going to vote for your own amendment?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, my only concern is the potential. I mean, this was in the conversations that we had about the potential of this creating a precedent with other deputies who, again, when you use the example of department heads or deputies across the county, certainly there are deputies that, including the ones sitting in front of us, who probably exceeded their comp time and burned out their comp time repeatedly. You have comp time, I don't know this. Who did just raise their hand? Legislator Heppner? Oh no, Deputy Executive Ryder. Go ahead.
So, assuming that they've each earned about 105 hours, it would be an additional $3,780 apiece. So you're looking at $7,200.
Yeah, and I would
bring it up to about 30,000.
I would expect that both of them exceeded the 105, just based on when I last saw their. I mean, I saw more recently updated, but I definitely believe that both of them were at 105 weeks ago. So, I don't know, Deputy Commissioner Quigley, do you know where your hours are at?
I lost track when I hit the 105 mark and started getting time taken away from me because I wasn't able to use it.
Yeah, and that therein is the issue for sure. Legislator Guevaras.
All these employees punch a time clock or some method of tracking time?
Yes.
Yes.
Does anyone else have any thoughts on this? Legislator Guevaras, what are your thoughts?
To Legislator Ronk's amendment, I'm going to be a no on that. But I think now that I know they didn't get time and a half and that they're really not getting paid for it, I'm just so very concerned about this happening again. I think there needs to be a real commitment from And even if they want to be a separate group that goes, that looks at this, but we've got to have a commitment to have this addressed by February, March at the latest, that there's got to be a plan in place that this doesn't happen. And whether this goes back to what I spoke with Deputy Exec Milgram before about resources, redeploying at times of need from different county departments that have excess capacity to take on work, redeploy it to assist the Board of Elections, because we know there's a window of time where they're going to be the busiest. And, you know, this is where we can really shift things around and make things more efficient. But I don't know.
Legislator Ronk.
Thanks. You know, I agree with Legislator Gavaris wholeheartedly that I want there to be a real discussion on this. I want it to happen in public, because all the conversations that led to this resolution happen in private, and their meetings that I was excluded from, whether rightly or wrongly so, because of quorum problems, because it would have created a public meeting. So I think that these are conversations that need to happen in public, because I think private meetings that have, you know, the end result of, you know, payments that are not typical going to political appointees are very concerning.
We can absolutely work through this in a public forum. It's just going to mean additional meetings, but I'm fine with that. And I'm sure the commissioners are willing to sit down and go through sort of the pinch points of looking at the record over the last couple of years of where these hours come in, but also the acknowledgement that, you know, this year was far from typical, and changes in regulations in terms of the state are changing what is typical. So I do think we're going to have to address this in terms of how we staff moving forward. Legislator Ronk.
Thanks. I also think that, you know, there needs to be a discussion with the current Democratic commissioner and the incoming Republican commissioner on using comp time and, you know, requiring use to be within a certain period of time. You know, that's how our clerk of the legislature gets through, you know, working with our employees in the legislature on comp time, even though a lot of our responsibilities are, you know, a lot of our staff are, you know, later in the evening or, you know, late into the evening when we can get kind of, you know, long-winded, as I tend to, on the floor and in committee meetings. So, you know, I think that needs to be a conversation as well. You know, you can't staff this problem away the same way we couldn't add more sites or hours to early voting to, you know, make, you know, to make the long lines in early voting go away. I think that there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of things that go into this conversation that need to be talked about, and management, you know, of the time at the Board of Elections on the commissioner level needs to be one of them.
And if I can just jump into the queue here, you know, on that subject, I did pull the comp time report. And as I said at the start of this, in February, the comp time was drawn down for nearly every employee to zero. So, you know, this was a particular circumstance, and both Legislator Roberts and Legislator Haynes could attest that we were sitting at a meeting where, you know, we had 2 weeks to an election. Many employees were already at significant comp time, approaching the 105, and there was discussion at that meeting of working, you know, 10-hour days and through the weekend. I believe it was Deputy Commissioner Quigley who told me that was going to be their first, you know, Sunday working in addition to a Saturday. So, you know, it's an extraordinary circumstance. I think this doesn't have to do with politics. It doesn't have to do with the fact that these are political appointees. These are county employees who worked extraordinarily hard through a very difficult election cycle and built up many comp time hours exceeding even the 105. Legislator Heppner.
Per Legislator Ronk's comments, you know, I believe there's an amendment on the floor by him to add an additional political appointed position to this. So I say we call the question.
Okay. On the amendment.
Aye.
Aye.
but I'm going to be a no for reasons that I said, concern about setting a precedent, but the amendment passes. So, and that's with Ronk, Roberts, and Heppner. So on the resolution as amended, do we want to talk about it anymore or? Okay. On the resolution as amended.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
I'm opposed.
Okay, and that's Ronk and Guevara. You saw that, Jay? Okay. The resolution.
No, excuse me, I need to jump off, but okay. Have a great evening, everyone.
Thank you. You too. Okay. Thank you for hanging out through all of this. Commissioner Dittus, I think, did Deputy Commissioner Quigley just jump off? Okay. So Commissioner Dittus, since you're still on, can you give us an update on what's happening with the count?
Sure. We started counting on Thursday of last week using our new central counter. We got through the two Senate districts that are not part of litigation. The 39th and the 51st were completed last week, Thursday and Friday, so those are done. This morning, we started counting in the 42nd district that was scheduled by the judge, because that is one of our two races that are in litigation. So we started that this morning. We got through the town of Wawarsing, the town of Denning, and we began the town of New Paltz. So we'll be back at it again tomorrow. We're going to try to work through as late as we can to finish that district and then start up on Wednesday morning with the 46th. So we have found that our new central counter that we applied HAVA CARES money to is very helpful in making this process go a lot more quickly. We also were able to run our 3% audit of our voting system ballots through the central counter, and that process took about 3 hours. In the past, doing those by hand count, the amount of ballots that we pulled for 3%, that would have taken the better part of 2 days, if not 3 days, and we were able to complete it in 3 hours. The slowness that we're experiencing today is just due to being part of a lawsuit, and by nature, there's representatives there from either sides of the aisle, and they're looking at some things, but that even with that, it's going pretty fast because they all had to bring their objections forth relatively quickly. So far, so good. I expect we'll be done before Thanksgiving, at least with our first group. I hope that we're done with all of the counting outside of the objections by Friday, maybe into Monday. Maybe I'm being more optimistic than I should be, but on this scale, we're doing pretty well, and then we'll see what happens in hearings on the objections, and if they get withdrawn, fine, we'll go and count them. If not, we'll take it from there. So far, so good. That investment is proving to be great and very helpful to us. So if you have any questions, let me know. We have about 140 ballots that have been objected to. That's all part of the order. Also, those are all being logged and recorded. And yeah, so far, so good.
Great. Thank you for the update. I just want to ask a follow-on question. Are you doing the counting primarily during regular business hours, or does it extend beyond? Are you counting on the weekend? How is that working?
So we had a part of the lawsuit was documents and discovery of documents. So we've been bringing in a lot of part-time work in addition to our own staff. So there was a little bit of extra hours worked, but we were able to get all of the documents uploaded to the share file without having to work on the weekend, which was really nice. We thought the judge was maybe going to mandate us work through the weekend, the weekend after the election, but we didn't have to. So everybody was able to have one weekend off. They hadn't had a weekend off for 8 weeks. So that was nice. So far, we haven't had to work on the weekends. Our counting hours have been 9:30 to 5:30. That's what we did today. That's what we'll do tomorrow. We might have to work a little bit extra, especially if we can see the finish line for the 42nd. We'll push it so that we can finish that one out. Otherwise, we'll be encroaching into our allotted time for the 46, which we're trying to avoid. But sometimes it's unavoidable, especially when, you know, we're in towns right now where we're seeing a lot more objections. Town of New Paltz, first district had 44 objections. Second district had about 30 objections. So those take a little bit longer to log in. And then they're looking at things a little bit more deeply. So New Paltz will take a little bit slower. And then when we get to Shangum, I expect that we won't have a lot of delays. Gardner will have some delays, and Rosendale will have some delays, and then we'll be finished.
Okay, thank you very much. Does anyone have any questions for the commissioner? Okay, thank you. Thank you very much, Commissioner Dittus, and thank you for making it through the whole meeting with us. I appreciate it.
Not a problem.
Okay. All right, moving on. We have old business. We have a continuation of the rules change discussion. I believe Clerk Mahler circulated the latest Mark draft. I'd like to, not tonight, but I would like to schedule a special meeting, another special meeting for this, just to get through it, I think, rather than put it on one of the regular meetings. So we'll see if we can get that done, ideally before the end of the year, you know, maybe just following on maybe the week prior to our regular meeting. So we'll see how we can get through that. Does anyone have any comments on the rules they want to bring up right now? Okay. New business. Is there any new business? Does anyone want to raise any issues? Okay, so I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved. Second.
Okay, fabulous. I don't even know who said it.
John and John.
All in favor of adjournment? Aye.
Aye.
And opposed? Kevin, I know you want to stay. All right. Thank you all. Unified adjournment. Have a great night. Thank you, everybody.